Well, I have some good news I'd like to share. It's not new news, but it's good news. It's gospel. That's what the meaning of good news is. It's something that we all know, something that we take part in, and it's something that, well, we should enjoy. 1 week ago, 7 days ago, 168 hours ago, 10,080 minutes ago, 604,800 seconds ago, we came together to worship God. 1 week ago. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "Now we're nearer salvation than when we first believed." The good news is we're 1 week closer to heaven. You know, we realize that. Maybe we don't like to stop and think about it. I am 1 week older. My bones hurt 1 week worse and all this, that, and the other. But look on the bright side. Look on the eternal side. We have so many blessings to look for. The idea that we're closer to heaven each moment that we live. Brother Alan Howers was a judge on the Tennessee appeals court for many years. He has retired. He was the MC at the Fried Hardin Lectureship's open forum. They put the smart guys up there to answer the questions and so forth. He is a very intelligent man. He brought a lesson, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, at polishing a pulpit, how do you stay married? He said, "My wife and I have been married 62 years. And someone asked you, how do you stay married? Well, get married and don't get divorced." And then he went on to have a good lesson. But today is a lesson that he got. It's a very simple one, one that we all know and perhaps can anticipate all the passage that we're going to go to. But in that, one of his lessons was, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? So I listened to that, and I took notes and so forth, and I tried to kind of go back and hit the same main points, maybe added a few things. But we're going to just look at some passages where it describes the gospel. What is the gospel? We'll begin in Galatians chapter 1, where we find the word gospel. Verse 8 beginning, Galatians 1, verse 8. "But if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, then that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Verses are very similar. Verse 8 talks about the gospel that was preached to them. And then verse 9 talks about the gospel that was received. The word gospel, of course, means good news. And here we learn some things about the gospel. We find that the gospel is exclusive. There's just the one. You know, if any other gospel, anything comes along and says, hey, this is good news, well, Paul says, there is not. He says, even if we or an angel come along and preach something else to you, let him be accursed. That's a great warning. The idea that, you know, any other gospel will lead in accursed. That basically means cut off from God. So we learn that there's only one gospel that is acceptable. And we realize that. And we know that. And this gospel is exclusive. There can be none other. And if anyone preaches any other, well, let him be accursed. But that doesn't tell us what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Well, let's note another passage, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Here we learn an important part that we all understand, I think, that the gospel is the power. Notice the article the singular, the one power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Gospel is the power of God that we might be saved, and it is available to everyone. The word gospel is the same word from which we get the word dynamic, the Greek word, and also the word dynamite. So there is great power in the gospel. Well, let's go back to verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Now note the first verse in verse 16, one we just read. For I'm not ashamed, or I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. Why? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For gives the reason. I am ready to preach the gospel. Why? Well, because it's God's power to salvation. That is why Paul wanted to preach. And let's notice also that we find that it's the power of God's salvation. And well, why is it the power of God's salvation? Verse 17, for it in it the righteousness of God is revealed. So here we have a series of building blocks, as it were. I am ready to preach the gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the gospel of salvation, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The God put the power to be saved in the gospel. So it tells us how important the gospel is. There is but one. It's God's power to save. But it really doesn't explain exactly what this good news is. Well, the passage that Brother Billy read, 1 Corinthians 15, I assumed you would be going there when I mentioned what our text was or our subject. 1 Corinthians 15, notice the first two verses. Moreover, brother, I declare to you the gospel. Okay, I'm going to tell you what the gospel is, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand. I preached, you received. Now verse 2, by which also you were saved. They were saved by that which he had preached, that which he had received. What had he preached? He preached the gospel. But notice also in verse 2, if you hold fast that which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Okay? Saved by the gospel, we understand that. And I think we understand that we must hold on to that which we have believed. You know, we believe and we've confessed our faith in Jesus Christ in becoming a Christian. But we need to realize that, you know, we need to be faithful. Revelation 2:10, we often quote the latter part of that verse. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. We like the idea of that crown of life. But if we back up to the first part of that verse, it says the devil's going to cast some of you into prison. Doesn't sound very good. And you're going to have tribulation 10 days. Whatever's going on, it doesn't sound good. Perhaps maybe evidently in might require their death. You have tribulation 10 days, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. I appreciate you and commend you for coming out on the Lord's Day. Some people might say, well, that's crazy to go out and maybe exposed to the virus and all this, that, and the other. But we need to be faithful, even if it means we get the virus and we even die. I don't think Jesus had necessarily the virus in mind when he said that. But whatever it is, be faithful unto death. Well, there is only the one gospel. It's God's power to save. And one is saved when the gospel is preached and received. But what is the gospel? Of course, we realize the next couple of verses. But let's read the first two again in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the gospel which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Then what is the gospel? He tells us the next verse. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, this is the gospel. What is it? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Resurrection, that's a new word, isn't it? Means getting up. Resurrection, sorry about that. Death, burial, and resurrection. That's the good news. Well, why is that good news? Notice in that passage it says that Christ died for our sins. Anyone told you lately that you're a sinner? Well, God does. But we're not just sinners. As Christians, we've been washed in the blood of Christ, and we are saved. We still fall short, but we still have Jesus as our advocate, and Jesus as our Savior. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and his blood keeps on cleansing us. There's one gospel. We understand that. God's power to save. But what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. But let's notice another passage. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here Paul is talking about Christ's return. You know, he came the first time as laid in the manger as baby Jesus, and he lived about 33 and a half years, and then he died, was buried, and was resurrected. But here's talking about his second coming, and notice what's going to be different about that. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 1, he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming in vengeance, flaming fire. On who? Those that do not know God. So we need to be telling people about God. And those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But those are facts. Those are facts. Facts that must be obeyed. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17 also talks about this need to obey. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, these are facts, wonderful facts. How do you obey a fact? How do you obey a fact? Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. This is good news. This is the message. But unless you obey that, you are going to be separated from God. Well, let's notice Romans chapter 6. Perhaps this passage comes to mind also when we're thinking about our subject. Give us more information about the idea of obeying the facts of the gospel. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free, you became the slaves of righteousness. Notice you were slaves of sin, but we delivered, and now we have been set free. And that's something that we need to enjoy and be appreciative of and show it by the way we live. Hey, I once was serving sin, but I died to sin, and now I have been set free. And now I'm a slave, still a slave, but not of sin, which leads to death, but of righteousness, which leads to life. Romans 17, 6, 17, you were slaves, but you obeyed that from the heart that form of doctrine. Now, most of us know enough what a form is. If you're pouring concrete, you build a form. You build something like what you want to have when it's all done. Or a likeness. You ladies may sew, or you gentlemen may sew. You have a pattern. You have a likeness of what you want to have when you're all done. Well, they obeyed from the heart, sincerely, genuinely, that form of doctrine that was delivered to them. What was delivered? The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. But they had obeyed the form. You cannot obey a fact, but you can obey something like a fact, a form. a likeness of the fact. Paul had delivered the gospel. They had received and obeyed that, and they became slaves of righteousness. Jesus died, was buried, and arose, the gospel. But Christians at Rome had obeyed sincerely and genuinely that form of doctrine. They had obeyed the likeness. Cannot obey the fact, a fact, but you can obey something that illustrates or is alike the fact. And Romans chapter 6 also talks about, in this same chapter, about this form, describes it. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us have been baptized into Christ, think about that, in Christ, we're baptized into his death, where he shed his blood. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as, notice the likeness, King James says, like as, we were buried like as, and Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are very familiar with the passage talking about the need to obey the gospel. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16, 15, 16. And then Acts 2, 38. Repent and be baptized. Peter told there people on the day of Pentecost for the forgiveness of sins. But here we notice that there is more to just the facts. There is the obedience to that. Let's notice a little bit more from these passages. What if I said you must obey the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection? Kind of be at loss. Okay, I must obey that. How do I do it? Well, we've tried to point that out. We do it in a likeness. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from that form of doctrine of which you were called. Gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let's notice verse 17 of Romans 6 and verse 18. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free. The King James says there, form of doctrine to which you're delivered, being then made free. When were you made free? When you obeyed from the heart. That gospel, the good news, being then set free. You know, people, sometimes friends we know or friends we've talked with, well, example, a couple of days ago, not necessarily a friend, but something I saw on Facebook. It come up, you know, a little heading, 5 Steps to Eternal Life or something like that. So, hey, that sounds pretty good. I wonder what this guy says. And he started out, and he did quite well, but then he just quit, you know. All you have to do is believe and say this little prayer. Well, that's not in the Bible. You know, he stopped before telling the gospel. Because here it points out real clearly, you obeyed genuinely, sincerely from the heart, then you were set free. So when were you saved, Paul? When I believed? No. We see this in Paul's own conversion. In Acts chapter 9, he saw Jesus. He believed. He went into Damascus and prayed and was blind for 3 days. Then somebody came and laid their hands on him, but he was still in his sins. And he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So notice then, having then been set free, you became servants of righteousness. We need to realize that we are servants. There's something about many of us or whatever, and someone tells me, you have to do this. Well, there's a little something in the back of my neck there where hair's supposed to be. I don't have to do that either. Well, we don't like to be told what we need to do. Or at least some people don't. But if we love God and realize what he has done for us, we should not be afraid to give our life to him, being then set free. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. The Apostle Paul used the phrase in Christ, or its equivalent, many, many times in his writings. A few examples, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 said that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? In Christ? Hey, look what's available to us, all spiritual blessings. We should take advantage of them. And then verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his blood. Romans 8, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, the salvation that is in Christ. We realize, and I think everyone does, if not, you have questions about some of this, we'd love to sit down with the Bible and show you. But I dare say that most of us have been taught this for many, many years, and perhaps maybe all the passages that we have read you thought of when we began to talk about what is the gospel. But it's good news. It's good news. I thought about starting the lesson telling you some good news about vinegar. Have I told you that before? I don't remember if you did. Vinegar's good stuff. When we lived up in Meigs County, we lived out in the woods. And I mowed about 3 acres right in the woods. You know, there's probably 300 trees in there mowed around. When it first started mowing, there was a lot of poison ivy. And I had a lot of poison ivy. But then Sharon somewhere come across some good news that vinegar will take the poison ivy oil off of you. If you've been exposed, just go in and take straight vinegar and take a bath in it if necessary, and then a good shower. And I don't think I ever had a real bad case of poison ivy after that. That's good news. I've shared that little story with a lot of people. But the story about Jesus and it being good news is something far, far greater. We believe, and as a result of that, we turn from our sins, confess our faith, or baptize. Then we become slaves of righteousness because we've been set free. Well, if you have some questions or concerns that we could help you with, we're always wanting to do what we can to help one another.